Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Davidson Hang podcast. I'm excited to introduce to you Austin Walker, who's an ACC, so congratulations on getting that certification.
Thank you, sir.
You are a life coach, and we know each other from Accomplishment Coaching, and it sounds like we share a lot of different similar in terms of like crushing it in sales. And I'm excited to share your wonderful energy with the world.
Yeah, thanks, man. We were talking about it before we turned on. Definitely a lot of similarities in our backgrounds. And I'm still amazed how we got connected with all of these seemingly odd points of connection, like both AC grads, both had no Edwin, you know, who was basically the introduction between us, same coach. Both did vector marketing. It's just, there's a lot of things where it's just like, oh, look, this was, sounds like it was meant to happen.
And the funny thing, I saw that you were in Fort Myers at Gartner. I interviewed with them too, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think subconsciously I felt bad about leaving my wife. Well, my wife, not my girlfriend at the time. Mm. So I think I bombed the interview. I think now I have more awareness around why I self-sabotage, but during it, I was like, oh my God.
Understood. Yeah, that Fort Myers time was just so radical, as it was. I look at my corporate career, basically it was like split into like three phases. The first phase being like after I graduated, government contracting and finance and accounting was like, okay, this is so this working thing, but not real association to what is it that I want to do. And had this first period of misalignment where it's like, oh, I think I see something for myself in sales, a lot more agency and how I can generate revenue, create my work experience. So my time in Fort Myers was essentially like the seed for my sales career, which is awesome. I can't say enough good things about like that time of my life and the Fort Myers crew. But then also it's like, once I had created the things that I wanted in my life, like via sales, it became really clear that the things that I actually wanted from it was like the lifestyle, the flexibility, not actual alignment to the work itself, which led to the phase of my career that I'm in right now in coaching and aligned to like my purpose and how it is that I want to create meaning and impact in the world. So it's just, it's fascinating though, as I like go back and look at like that Fort Myers, I'm like, you know, it was only 5 years ago, but it just seems like such like a big jump in terms of just like who is I am today and like how I spend my time and energy. So it's fascinating to go down memory lane a little bit there.
Yeah. And I also saw that you worked at Vector as well. Those Cutco knives, man. I remember cutting Cutco myself knives, on baby. Those knives are sharp.
Yeah, no, I did that. I played college football, and during the summers, because of our workouts, we didn't have the opportunity to have traditional summer internships. So the cool thing about Cutco was that I could build my clients around my schedule. So I'd have a few clients, then go to football workouts, then have another client. So it was cool. It was fun. I had a great experience. My first foray into sales. And also, you know, it was also just a good experience of like, oh, I actually really like engaging and connecting with people. And so a lot of the seeds for things that I ended up doing later in life and even today now as coach.
Yeah, I could see why Edwin connected us, because we would always joke when we worked together at LinkedIn, we called each other doppelgangers. So,
Yeah. I can see that definitely.
Yeah. So I could see why we're all very similar in that, like really enjoy meeting people and engaging with people, interacting. I was not a football star. What position did you play?
I played safety. So I was a defensive back for University of Maryland Terrapins.
Oh, snap. Like, were you like, wait, what year was that? Did I see you on the big screen?
Yeah, well, I was in school from 2007 to 2011. Oh. So potentially, you know, this was when Maryland was still in the ACC. We're Big Ten now, just conference realignment. Wait,
do you remember playing against Rutgers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wait, no. When I was there, we did not. Oh, yes, we did. We did play Rutgers.
Yeah.
I think 2006 when they had Ray Rice.
Yep.
Was the last time we played them. While I was there on the team, I don't think we did.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
Yes, I remember watching before I came in, because that Rutgers team was really good.
Yeah.
And I believe we just narrowly won, if I'm not mistaken. This take me back down memory lane.
I know when I went to Rutgers from 2006 to 11, and then no, because I remember, because actually, unless this was at, we were playing at the Terrapin, the UMCP stadium, actually. I remember that.
Man, did we? I honestly can't remember because I'm trying to remember. Wait, well, was Rutgers, like, they weren't ACC, but they're Big Ten now, so I know they're on the schedule. So were we just playing them beforehand? Maybe.
Yeah,
we
weren't part of the same division, I don't think, at that time. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, actually, now that you mentioned, I do think we did play you all at least some of the times that I was there.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, man. You know, football is so long ago now. I always joke with people. It's like, I forget that I played sometimes. I mean, you know, 10 or 11 years ago, it's just like, wow, I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's funny because when you think of like executive coaching and life coaching, you don't necessarily think the parallels with football, right? But then now that you think about it, actually the discipline and the consistency and the mindset, I mean, half of that is psychological as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I think there's a lot of, I think you can take similarities in athletics to almost like any type of like profession, right? Because the discipline, the attention to detail, like the skill, all of those are, you know, just things that correlate into a lot of different areas of life. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever looked at relationship between coaching and athletics though. I think if I'm looking at it right now, just the commitment to like continual improvement and like continual like self-awareness. Like when you're a ball player, you got to know, like, you know, what your role is, how to do like what's the edges to your game, what's your, like, your sweet spot. Mm. And I feel like as a coach, like to hold space for others and, you know, be able to guide others to, you know, the places that they want to get, you've got to be really clear on doing your own work. Mm. Right. And like knowing where your own edges are, is the things that you can't be, like your edges are the things that ultimately like you can't be with in your clients. So it's like this constant practice of self-awareness and coaches doing the inner work so that they can be with whoever and whatever comes into their space.
Mm. Yeah. Even being with is such a powerful practice, right? It's still something that I struggle with, even having done being in this work for 7 years, or I don't know how many years, it feels like 7 years now.
Yeah, I know the being with and being with it all. You know, I was just talking to actually my coach right before this. I met with him at 2, and looking at like be with and like where am I like choosing to be with and like where am I not. And you know, one of the things that I was reflecting on, I have a tendency to like not be with like what I perceive as like negative emotions.
Yep.
Right. Or like, so that could be anything around fear, like anxiety, anger, sadness. Right. And like, actually there is a breakthrough for me to actually just sitting with it and not trying to fix it, not trying to avoid it, not trying to solve it, and just actually getting in touch with that part of myself. And yeah, it's like the continual practice of like choosing to be with it all. Yeah, it takes some work, but you know, I'm already even just seeing just like the benefits in terms of just like range, in terms of like getting better like acquainted with parts of myself that, again, in like strong emotion that I might generally keep at like an arm's length distance, that now that I'm like, I can do this. So it's a fascinating practice.
That's a good point. Yeah, I often notice I struggle with being with certain emotions, like anger is one. Sadness as well. I think people like us that are tend to be like gregarious or charismatic, or people that like people, I think because we became how we are because we're so likable, right? But in that journey to be liked by literally every single human being in the freaking world, we lose a sense of like, I don't know. I mean, sometimes ourselves, right? It's like, cause you feel like a chameleon.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have struggled with the flavor of like people pleasing, right? Cause it's like, yeah, like gregarious is a good way to put it, or like, you know, certainly extroverted, like charming, charismatic. And it's a really interesting point is, you know, right now, like where I am and like expanding my coaching presence, It's like the tools that I used to rely on so heavily, like in like my sales career, of like being charming or being charismatic and using that as a way to like build relationships and ultimately like position deals, is also now the way that I don't create genuine connection with other people. It's like actually just showing up like as is, like with my authenticity, not from a place of like performance, is the thing that is more generative in this space. So it's always just fascinating just to see like different parts of your being that I was like, oh, like I was doing that, you know, kind of like strategically as to get something, as opposed to right now, it's a lot more like, yeah, like I can be all those things, but it's like, I don't have to be them to get something. I can just like be and yeah, and just rock with that.
I love what you said about like showing up authentically, right? Because I think sometimes in our quest to be gregarious, like you said, like just being super liked and being the guy for everyone, there's something about like, because sometimes like being real and just being honest like can lead to conflict, right? So for me, I avoid conflict like the plague.
I'm with you, man. And it's like I've been, you know, trying to step in into like embracing conflict. And there could be a lot of like, well, like, do you look at conflict as a bad thing or it's more of like just a thing? But it's so fascinating because in the line of coach, it's like, it's not really serving to like me or like my clients if I am unwilling to be with conflict or unwilling to say the bold thing or to ask the question in the presence of conflict. Kind of back to our point earlier around like, what, you know, what are you willing to be with? And conflict is definitely one that I'm learning to like normalize, disarm, and again, just like be with it, whether that's in friendships, like relationship, family, coaching. Yeah.
Do you also find that, because I find myself like smiling a lot because I'm like, oh, this will lighten up the mood, right? But then I notice ever since I've done more work, I don't smile as much, not because I'm not happy, but I'm okay with just like okayness, you know?
Yeah, like you don't have to... You don't have to like be like default by, or sorry, cheery by default or happy by default. You can just be with like whatever is in the space.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's the more work that you do to get clear on who you are, it can create pathways to like less performance and more just just being okay with how you are and like whatever spaces that you're in. So yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah. And back to conflict, I feel like, I don't know about you, but I feel like I invite conflict a lot more now into my life. But this is very recent, maybe the last 3 months.
Yeah.
I actually like, I'm like, oh, we're leading somewhere. We're getting to the truth now, right? Instead of brushing it underneath the rug.
Yeah. My relationship, I'd say, I don't know if I'm like actively seeking it out, but I know I'm not actively avoiding it.
Okay. Well, right? that's
like,
progress.
You know, if there is like conflict that happens, it's, you know, there's gradients of conflict, like little baby conflict and like huge, big, gigantic conflict. There's like an openness and a trust to be with like whatever comes up. And I trust myself that like I can handle it, or not having any stories in my mind around what it means if you are in conflict. Just looking at it as flat, something to choose to be in or to not be in, address in a way that you think like honors you and the other party, and like, and keep it moving, as opposed to making it be some, I don't know, some crazy, scary thing, at least on my end.
Yeah, I think we also tend to, I think some people, what I perceive as conflict, some people be like, no, that's just normal interactions, right?
yeah, right? You mean a conversation? Oh, well, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, that's fascinating. So I'm curious, like, it must be really hard to leave like a job that in a company that you were making some pretty good money, you know, with, you know, you can call it the golden handcuffs or whatever. man, like, do people like often question, like ask you like, hey, like, do you regret that decision?
Yeah, I get asked about that a fair bit. I mean, I'm still pretty fresh within my solopreneur journey. I left my company in last October 2021. And I, you know, it's, the experience has been the opposite of what I thought it was going to be. Like, I thought the experience was going to be super scary. It's like, well, what am I going to do if I'm not getting this like pretty reasonable paycheck every 2 weeks for basically having a pulse? And it's actually been super exciting, because all of my time and energy have been going towards the things that I'm passionate about, or I have heavy interests, like, that I'm vested in. I don't have to code switch. Much of what I do today, just in my life, is being really intentional about who I'm showing up as. And I didn't love who I was showing up in as work. I wasn't connected to like the meaning that I was generating there. And so it's been really cool being in this space now. Now, is it different? It's so fascinating, like, I think, like, how stories can really run rampant in our minds, right? Like, is my situation different, even just from a cash flow perspective? Yeah, like, absolutely. I mean, even from a basics, I get paid generally more once a month in a flurry from, you know, the different invoices or things that come in versus the 7th and the 21st, you know, like clockwork. You know, are the, you know, amounts different? Yeah, a little bit. And it's also super empowering that, like, I get to create the things that it is that I want. And not necessarily saying that might be the thing for everyone, but I think the biggest thing that I've just been really present to this is, like, it's totally, like, up to me. And there is something really empowering about putting your time and energy towards the things that you really care about, right? I think there takes a little bit of courage to, you know, be able to, like, walk into the unknown, or do the thing that might be uncomfortable, or do the thing that might not be easy, which was ultimately, like, the breakthrough that I took in order, like, to leave my job, because I was thinking about it for probably a year plus before I actually did it. And so, yeah, man, it's an exciting, fascinating new journey. But it's really cool to be able to generate for, like, the causes that, like, are really important to me, and working with people, helping them get closer to the things that they want in their lives, as opposed to, you know, my experience beforehand, you know, just like closing deals, which, again, there's nothing wrong with closing deals, but for me, it was this connection to want to do things that's like deeply important to my life and, like, what I want to do with this opportunity.
And you mentioned the word code switching. Do you think it's a personality thing, or is it also because of, like, you know, we're people of color as well, or is it a little bit of both?
Well, it could be both. I more use it in the reference of, there is a certain way that I was expected to show up at corporate or at work. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I'm showing up with my clients, I'm just being me. Do you ask yourself, like, what does it mean to just, like, fully be you? And, like, what performances or what acts or, you know, the things that we carry on into, like, the different containers that we're in life. And who I was showing up as at work, which was somebody who was, you know, not happy about being in the situation, not feeling like my time was being delegated into the places that I wanted, by choice, I might add, had me just, like, I don't know what the right word is, like, lethargic, just not super motivated. So that's what I mean by it. So I would have, like, you know, a sales conversation, and then, you know, 15 minutes later, I'm going into, like, a super empowering coaching conversation. It's like, whoa, like, we're, you know, flicking light switch here. That's not the experiences I want. But certainly, I mean, from, like, a race perspective, as, you know, as being a minority, there certainly could be, or I have experienced some elements of code switching as by means to, you know, try and fit in. But I've also done a lot of work on diversity, equity, inclusion, even doing some trainings around that, around just, like, embracing, like, my uniqueness and, you know, the, like, essence of, like, my authenticity. So I think there's a degree of code switching, particularly when you are, as a minority, when you are in spaces that you are the only one of you. Mm-hmm. But I see as myself, the more that work that I do into that space, there's a less of a pull or a, like, an automatic pattern to code switch, if that makes sense.
And I'm curious, like, in Fort Myers, was it a pretty diverse place, or did you feel like you had to code switch there?
Well, the first part, no, it was not a very diverse place.
Yeah. That's kind of a leading question. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was not. I mean, well, it's, I think interesting is the right word, or maybe amusing. But in my entire corporate career, I mean, you know, being an African-American male, I am generally the minority in the majority of spaces I go into.
Yeah.
Code switching? I don't know. Well, I guess would we look at something like this as code switching? I always felt that there was I wasn't able to, or it wouldn't serve me to like behave in the same manner that some of my peers or contemporaries did. Uh-huh. So I always felt that there was a more likelihood that I would be stereotyped if I behaved in specific behaviors as opposed to my peers. Mm. So in Fort Myers, for example, generally more of like a younger workforce. So there was a very work hard, play hard culture. So I would be less likely, like when I'm at work, I'm here to work. Whereas I might have some peers who were a little bit more party friendly, you know, in workspaces. And I would never do something like that. Mm. So if you look at perhaps like a subtle way of just code switching, or even just like being a minority and how that can show up and how you show up, I would say that would probably be more of an example of how it showed for me.
Mm. Yeah, I can relate. That's another thing we share in common, because there's, I guess, I'm often the only Asian male in a lot of the sales environments, right? Like they're typically like white male athletes, or, you know, like, so I can relate to what you're saying.
Yeah.
And yeah, and there's an amount of pressure that I put on myself where it's like, if I suck, then they're never going to hire any Asian males ever at this company, right? So I do put a lot of pressure on myself, because I'm like, I'm typically the only one. So if I suck, then like we're screwed as a race.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I can certainly relate to putting a lot of pressure on, even just the sense when you are a minority, you represent just a larger segment of your population, right? So it's like, wow, if I'm in this space, I'm like accounting for 80% of the Black population here. It's, you know, it's just being more really mindful of like how you show up and you know, how you conduct yourself. And it's interesting thing to talk about, because people who may not be minorities may just be completely oblivious of it, right? Of
right.
like this additional pressure, or, you know, what expectations might be on you.
Right.
So it's a fascinating thing to look at. And, you know, I think certainly, of course, over the past 2 years, the pandemic and just the enhanced focus on race relations and equity in our country, I think more people are becoming attuned to that. But it's, you know, obviously definitely has a lot of work to continue to do there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's hard for someone to understand, right? It's kind of like, I can try to put myself in someone else's shoes, but I really can't, right? At the end of the day, like I'm not Black, so I can try to empathize, but like at the end of the day, like you guys go through something that's a different experience and vice versa. Right. So it's
totally,
it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you hit that point. It's like the willingness to be empathetic with others and truly trying to understand their experience, as, you know, opposed to relating or solving or anything else, right? And even just that alone can give you a lot of reverence for what other people do and understanding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the hope. A lot more empathy can go a long way.
Yeah, man. So you live like a pretty fascinating life. You know, I think, And I feel like you're still relatively young to be like a full-time coach, right? I feel like most people that I've seen that have transitioned tend to do it like this is their second or third career, you know, they tend to be like, okay, like, but you're doing it pretty early. I think that's courageous.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I feel like everything started to, I started to question everything in my life when I turned 30. And I always had one of my mentors always say, like, something happens when you hit 30. And I don't know, for me, it's at the phase where I spent so much of my 20s. Well, really, actually, the first 8 years of my corporate career was basically driven by one singular goal: make as much money as possible. Right. And like that idea alone essentially guided 8 years worth of decisions, which is just fascinating to look at. It's like when I graduated college, I was sitting here and thinking, well, what's the thing that I really want to do to have myself fully expressed and to make a difference in the way that, you know, I really like strongly connect to, or like, what's my purpose? It was just boom, going down that route. Mm-hmm. And for me, once you get to a situation where, you know, money isn't the primary concern, where it's like, you have enough where you can stand on your own 2 feet, you have your investment vehicle set up, start to look at things outside of that. And I feel like that was my experience. And looking at, well, I have this one earthly life. How is it that I want to use it? What am I going to do to really feel like, you know, like, again, I maximize my experience. And that's where my call to coaching came from, and getting clear on my purpose to help empower, inspire people to believe that they can create the lives that they want, to be the best version of themselves. And like shortly after that, I serendipitously, you know, big believer of the energy that you put out is the energy that comes back to you. Somebody in my network was a coach, and then they introduced me to accomplishment coaching. And then, you know, I saw Christine Sachs leading I know she's been on your pod, leading the AC week. And I was like, oh, like,
she's a freaking G.
Oh yeah. Exactly. Oh yeah. It's so great. You know, just to be with people and have them relate to themselves differently. It's just such a powerful, powerful tool. And so, yeah, I mean, to answer the question, I think it was just a lot of different things coming together in my life that made me realize the things that I had been building towards wasn't actually the things that I wanted. And like having that awareness of just like how you do want to make an impact and the experience that you want to create in your life can have just a tremendous impact on your life experience. So it's kind of a crazy set of circumstances of how it all came together, but yeah, I'm happy to be in this space.
And I think it's so empowering when you see like your Mark Hunters and your Christine Sachs lead the room, right? Because that's not the typical of the executive leadership teams that we're used to in a typical corporate environment.
Yeah.
So for me, like, that's even like, I was like, wow, like, it's possible.
Definitely. Yeah, it's so great when you see somebody. I mean, that's one of the things that really drew me to Mark was I see this person who is extraordinarily talented and has an amazing presence and also looks like me. Where, you know, if I even look at coaching and the industry of coaching is generally more predominantly women,
right?
And less so women, just peoples of color. So when I see a male, a black male coach, I'm like, oh, okay, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And just to be able to be with and connect with somebody, you know, who I aspire to be in a way, it's just really cool. And it gives you an idea of like what's possible in this field and like what happens if we have more of these type of people. So yeah, super powerful, man. I resonate strongly with what you're sharing.
Yes. So same exactly with me, right? As soon as I observed Christine Sachs and then how masterful she was, and I was just like, damn, like, I was like, she is brilliant, you know?
Good. And
signed up like immediately.
Yep. I know. It's so funny. You know, I generally used to be, I have more agency around it, but risk averse, like very calculated in the things that I do. And after I saw that, it was, oh, okay. 18K for this program. Boom, done. Let's go rock and roll. 3 weeks later, we'd started. So it's fascinating, but
that's crazy.
Definitely the best investment that I've ever made was the year-long transformation, introspection of like really getting to know myself that specific container like creates was incredible. Incredible. So definitely no regrets there.
Yeah, you're right. I'll never forget like the level of depth that you go. You feel like these people know you better than like your family or even your girlfriend and you know what I mean? Like, it's just conversations that not everyone has, like, or people, it's very raw.
Well, you fully open up and you look at like how many spaces that do I feel safe where I can bring all parts of myself without the judgments, without the interpretations, without being made wrong. And even just being in a space where you're being invited to look at it. And I think that's one of the most powerful things about coaching is that it's a space to better get to understand you and how you operate. What are your patterns? What are the things about yourself that dictate how you live your life, right? Because a lot of these things on a normal Friday afternoon, we don't take the time to look at. You know, even people who, even like myself, who is, consider myself like pretty strategic, always having a plan before I got into this coaching world. Hmm. I look back at it now, it's like, what was actually like all of this for, right? Like, what was I really, the experiences that I was trying to generate in my life? What were like how I was showing up dictated how I was going about my plans? So it's a really cool, like, just benefit of being in coaching spaces is that all of it's on the table and we get to look at it from a neutral place and put clients or people at choice of like, how do they choose to be? It's just, it's fascinating, man.
Yeah. I think a lot of us, we get obviously get impacted by our parents, societal expectations, or what, you know, the money, right? That's important in our capitalistic.
It's a factor.
Yeah. But a lot of us don't sit and pause and actually like really assess, like, am I doing this for me or am I doing this for someone else?
Totally. Yeah. Getting clear on that give you a lot of signals as to maybe where you should put your time or your energy or your efforts. And yeah, just having a more deeper, intimate relationship with you. And I think is the catalyst for everything that you want to create in your life, right? Yeah. A lot of people, I think, overstep the relationship that they have with themselves. Like, most people are focused on, okay, like my career or my family or my relationships, my faith, fitness, I mean, you name it, without actually even acknowledging, actually, what's my relationship with myself, right? That's the... I forget who said this, but the longest relationship of anybody you'll have in your whole life is the one with you.
Yeah.
And it's oftentimes one that is not even acknowledged in some cases. So yeah, it's really interesting when, you know, cause it can be scary at times too, right? To like really look and get to know yourself and everything that's in it. But I think it's just critical, you know, for really being responsible for like, how is it that you want to show up in life?
Yeah, that's a good point. We don't evaluate our relationship with ourselves. We tend to evaluate with our spouses, with our mothers, with our sisters and like coworkers, our managers. Most people probably spend more time thinking about their manager relationship than they do with themselves, right?
Totally, right? I mean, oh my goodness. Yeah, like, oh, my manager does this or just that. And like all those things, okay, they may be truth to it and looking at the degree to like how you're being in all those things.
Right.
Right.
We don't think that the common trend is typically us, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot of, I feel like, possibility and ownership of just of having a better relationship or a more in-tuned relationship with yourself.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I mean, you clearly have done the work for a while. And what's brilliant about what we do is every day we're still rediscovering ourselves, right?
Oh, I know.
What are some of the more recent aha moments / blind spots that you've come across, right? In the last couple
of weeks? One that comes to mind, even as you immediately say it, is I used to have this perception, and even fall into it sometimes, where it's like the breakthroughs that needed to create the thing that I want in my life is like some one-time dragon that needs to be slain. It's like vulnerability. Oh, okay. I did the vulnerable thing. I exposed myself. Whew, good. I'm done with that now. As opposed to it's a continual thing. It's Well, I look at everything through the lens of ownership because that's my forever breakthrough, the degree to which I am willing to own all elements of my experience. And so when I look at even what I just shared, is that my willingness to continue to be vulnerable everywhere, like not just in this one specific place that I needed to have it, but in my everyday conversations and my relationship with myself, my romantic relationship, again, like on the entire spectrum. Mm. So, I think that's the big thing. It's not this one big thing that needs to get done and that's the thing, and once you have it, it's done. It is choosing in to continue to look at it, continue to go deeper down the rabbit hole, so to speak. And many of the areas that I'm working on myself or people are working on themselves are lifelong journeys without necessarily like an endpoint. But the more that you can be with, better understand yourself, better have a better relationship with yourself, just gives you access, in my opinion, to just a more expressed and complete version of yourself, which again is the catalyst for anything that you're trying to take on in your life. So that's a great question, because there's been a number of them, but I think that's the one, and it's a continual process of choosing in for the thing you want or choosing in for the breakthrough. It's not a one-time thing.
We definitely share that in common, right? Like, I'm sure many people go up to us and they're like, why are you still like, don't you have enough self-awareness? Like, how much more self-awareness can you possibly have?
You know what, it's, I've heard this, I hope I don't butcher it, but I've heard from people in academia when they're like, okay, well, when I was in high school and I had my high school degree, I thought I knew everything, right? And then when I got my my bachelor's degree, I was like, okay, like I know some things. And when then I got my master's degree, I realized, like I kind of like might know one thing kind of good. And then I got my PhD, I realized, wow, I don't know anything. And I feel like that's kind of a similar track with professional development or getting to better know yourself. It's the more that you explore, you also realize that the more that there is to, like, within the expanse of your being, like there's always more that you can explore, figure out, have a better relation with, relate to things differently. So totally, man, it's a continual process.
The thing that always blows my mind is like when I realize that everything I say or do is inherently like a projection, you know? So the even the brilliant like billionaires and like your Christine Sachs and your Mark Hunters of the world, and even like people that I don't necessarily agree with, I'm like, that's me, also a story in my head as well. So I don't know, like when I like truly stepped into that, I'm like, man, like, It's a crazy concept, but it's so true, right? It's just what we focus on.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, it's powerful. It's like the stories that are in our space, like how much power we're giving to those. I mean, it can have a tremendous impact on our experience.
Yeah. Wow, Austin. Well, we'd love to hear a little bit more. What have you learned from being a podcaster so far?
From a podcaster, the first thing that comes to mind is the power in leveraging your voice and using your voice as a way to share your ideas, to connect with others, to talk about things and give light to things that you think need to be given attention to. Derek and I started Purpodicity January 2020, so right before the pandemic. And it was my first like outward expression of anything around coaching, although the podcast Purpodicity is a portmanteau between purpose and authenticity, focused on identifying who you are, like at your essence, and getting clear on like what your purpose is and using your superpowers, who you are, like at your essence, to better carry out your purpose in the world. And the first, it was our really my first crack, you know, before I even established my coaching practice, working with people one-on-one, is talking to people like from the slide and asking questions around purpose and around authenticity. So it was super empowering just to be able to have a platform where I could talk about the things that were super important to me. And right around that time was also, I mean, you know, 2020 was a wild year in itself, but around the time that the George Floyd murder happened and there's a social outrest in the country, and using the platform of my podcast to be able to talk about race relations and how people were dealing with everything that was in the space. I think that's the biggest thing that I've got from it, is that your voice can be a really powerful tool, and you never know how your message or your voice may land or impact somebody else. So that's the thing. I mean, and even just the progression of Purpodicity, we had finished our first season. We started our second season at the beginning of 2021, and Derek and I essentially took a hiatus around the summer. So we're not actively making episodes right now. I'm continuing to focus on expanding my coaching presence, and he is a chocolatier and has a restaurant, all these things going on. And even just, you know, owning in that process, we talked about like being with something that hey, is really important. And we're choosing to give our energy and efforts towards other things at this, and not from a place of like make wrong or, hey, like we have this podcast, we have to do these things, really giving it the time and energy that we need when the time is right. So there's so many lessons in it, but I've really enjoyed the outlet to share and talk about the things that are really important to me.
Hmm. That's awesome, man. Well, Austin, I appreciate
you. Well, hold on, Dave. That generated something for me. So I got to know, as you're a fellow podcaster yourself, what's your biggest lesson that you've gained from? I mean, you've interviewed, well, over, what, 150 people now or something like that?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. This is 150. And I did some before that, you know, weren't so great, right? But
well, yeah, what's been your biggest takeaway from this podcasting life?
I think for me, I leverage it in a way to like really build my network and community, and just to give people a voice who maybe haven't had the spotlight to be able to speak openly about sensitive topics, like race relations being one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us Asians have context about like not being heard. Like we tend to be tend to be pigeonholed into being that quiet, docile type of like not related to as like lack of masculinity. So I do talk about those types of topics, but yeah, I like what you said. Like I really do. I value my voice a lot more. Like I relate to my opinions as worthy of being listened to. Right. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair point that you brought up. So yeah thanks.
Yeah, it's a blessing to have the platform and, you know, to be able to, you know, advocate and create and have the conversation around the things that are really important. So go us for having our podcast then, right? We can give ourselves a little self-acknowledgement.
Yeah, man. Self-acknowledgement's huge. I mean, dude, that's taking me 5 years to like, to be able to implement.
Yeah. Nice. Cool.
Cool, man. Well, Austin, I really want to acknowledge you for like going out and really trusting yourself and being clear on who you are and who you want to be in the purposeful and who you want to be in the world, not only with impact, but with your time, your energy, the clarity that you have with your decisions, like choosing powerfully, where you allocate like your energy, like building communities intentionally, like you're living the dream, man. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy that we crossed paths, and I have no doubt that we'll have many more collaborations in the future.
Oh, thank you so much. I feel super acknowledged. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing when you put your time and energy towards the things that you really want and just what is manifested like energetically as a response to that, right? Like the reason that we are connected is because of our own individual interests, and collect and moving those forward has created this pathway where we serendipitously get connected. Yeah. And I'm just amazed constantly by like what is happens like when you put energy towards the things that you want. There's like a multiplying effect of it, which is, you know, like another reason why it's so important to do this work and to be willing to look and get connected to the things that are important, because it will just create these massive ripples, whether it's a new relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's different opportunities from a career perspective or an impact to make a difference in the way that you want. So it's just so important. And yeah, man, I acknowledge you for just being the beacon of light and connector that you are. You're right. It's no small feat, and anybody who's in this work has a continual commitment to do the work themselves. So I acknowledge you for that. And I really appreciate you having me on your podcast, Davidson. This has been great.
Yeah. And I'll post a link to your podcast, your LinkedIn, your profile, your website, and all that good stuff. Cool. And cool. Yeah, man. Cheers.
Yeah. Thank you.